bright and beautiful music. This is KIXI AM 91, Seattle.
Pacific Standard Time, 10 o'clock.
CBS News, President Ford and Vice President Rockefeller meet Saturday to plan strategy for solving the nation's problems and to determine what role Mr. Rockefeller will play. I'm Jim Kilpatrick, reporting on the CBS Radio Network. White House sources have been suggesting that Nelson Rockefeller will be given a good deal of responsibility. Details will not be announced until after the Saturday meeting. The White House says Rockefeller will work with domestic policies and is expected to offer his expertise in foreign policy matters. The new vice president is an old hand at politics and government, but he says Mr. Ford is the boss.
You can be assured right now, I'm not going to pose a problem to anybody. I want to be as quiet and as helpful and only do that which is appropriate and useful to the president and the people of this country, and to enjoy the association with the Senate and the Congress of the United States.
The presidential economic advisors will also meet at the White House Saturday. The session is expected to be a review of dozens of suggested economic cures and energy conservation measures. President Ford plans to take all the options, study them while on vacation in Colorado, and make a new set of economic recommendations early next year. White House aides indicate President Ford's hopes for a balanced budget by 1976 are now gone. Administration sources say the budget may be $35 billion in the red. More after this.
How many things can your family do together? Go to a movie? Go to a circus? Go on a picnic? Go on a vacation? Face it, in today's America, family fun is hard to come by. And with busy schedules, just getting the family together is not an easy thing to do. How would you like to have a little family fun every week? How would you like to learn together? How would you like to grow together? And how would you like to help your son get an edge on growing up? Cub Scouting is helping families like yours be a family. It sure helped ours. Today's Cub Scout program is just as much for families as it is for boys. So when your son wants to join a Cub Scout pack, remember to take along the whole family. That's what Cub Scouting is all about. For the Cub Scout pack nearest you, call the Boy Scouts of America. They're in the white pages of your phone book.
Consumer prices rose again in November, this time up 0.9%, the same as October. The Labor Department released other discouraging news. The real after-tax income for Americans dropped almost 2% last month. The Consumer Price Index is now more than 12% above a year ago, the highest rate of inflation since 1947. The cost of living has even affected the traditional Christmas mail, as Bernard Kalb reports.
There is no inflation when it comes to Christmas mail. The statistics are smaller this year than last. Only 7.5 billion pieces of mail sent between Thanksgiving and today this year, compared to 8.7 billion pieces of mail in the same period last year. But inflation in the marketplace seems to be one of the major reasons for the drop in Christmas mail this year. Joseph Jones, Director of Logistics at the U.S. Postal Service.
There appears to be a very definite impact as a result of the economic situation. Our parcel volume is running about 18 million behind the same period last year. Since this is primarily gifts and merchandise, it would reflect economic trends more accurately than any type of mail we have.
The postal authorities say they expect a final surge of Christmas mail in the next few days, but still not enough to catch up with 1973's Christmas mail statistics, with 1974 expected to run 5 to 8% or about a billion pieces of mail behind 1973. Bernard Kalb, CBS News, Washington.
United Auto Workers Vice President Ken Banyan says the automotive industry is not in a recession, rather the worst depression since the 1930s. He wants tax cuts and other government action to stimulate the economy. Layoffs in the auto industry now number more than a quarter of a million workers. More after this.
We knew about these people in our city that were trying to break the drug habit, and we realized that we could be helping them. So a group of us from our synagogue started getting involved with their rehabilitation center, We wanted to show them that they really did have friends.
That was in Wilmington, Delaware. Near a Navajo reservation, another story.
The Navajos wanted another trading post, one that they ran themselves. Some church groups in the area helped them establish a cooperative store where prices are cheaper and that they control the store themselves.
Maybe you feel that one person is too insignificant to make this world a better place. Then work with others at your local church or synagogue. The God we worship expects us to help one another. Today, start treating your brothers and sisters like brothers and sisters. A public service of Religion in American Life, the Advertising Council, and this station.
A Canadian National passenger train collided with a freight train Friday night near Kingston, Ontario. The collision occurred on the main route between Montreal and Toronto. Police say about 50 people were injured, a few seriously. The 93rd Congress has adjourned after approving a major foreign trade bill. President Ford is expected to sign the bill. Jim Kilpatrick, CBS News.
CBS in Seattle, KIXI. The weather forecast for the Puget Sound area, windy tonight, southerly wind 25 to 40 miles per hour and gusty, diminishing to southwest 20 to 30, Saturday afternoon. Periods of rain through tomorrow, decreasing Sunday. Lows in the lower 40s tonight and the upper 30s tomorrow night, highs in the mid and upper 40s. 53 degrees at both SeaTac and downtown Seattle, raining. Relative humidity 86%, barometer 29.64 and falling. The wind at Lake Union is 23 miles per hour, gusting to 35. Now stay tuned for Mystery Theater next.
CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents... Come in. Welcome. I'm E.G. Marshall. Welcome to the world of terrifying imagination. To the world of enchantment, spells, the witchery. These are all words from our childhood. Pleasant memories of nursery stories before bedtime. The dark side of magic we knew nothing of. And when we grew old enough to learn, dismissed as ignorance and superstition. But once again in our times, incantation, exorcism, and the haunting belief in demonic possession are alive and abroad. They are what this strange tale is about.
I tell you, Doctor, it's the God's honest truth. They brought the young man in on the rolling stretcher to the emergency room, and he had this big sort of dent in his head. Oh, he didn't look like he was breathing at all. There was me, with me bucket and me pail, trying to clean up. Just me and the young man on the stretcher and the old wino repeater we call PJ they brought in earlier, snoring and dribbling. And that's when it happened. Came right out of old PJ's mouth and across the room and right up the young man's nose like that. With a burny, cindery smell like the old scissor grinder stone wheel used to make. Oh, a great black cloud with red eyes in the middle and a long forked tail. Oh, I take an oath of it on me mother's grave. It was the devil himself.
Our mystery drama, Possessed by the Devil, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by Ian Martin. And stars Donald Buca. It is sponsored in part by Contac, the 12-hour cold capsule, and Anheuser-Busch Incorporated, brewers of Budweiser. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
Inside you're free. Inside you're free after all. You hear a freedom spirit like a wild bird's call. Inside you're free. Inside you're free after all. Living free. Living free.
The urge hits. You know you have to hit the road. So with Buick Skylark SR firmly in hand, you do just that. Quickly, confidently, you're on your way. Skylark SR's touring car cockpit. Its bold stance and spirited V6 engine make exhilarating excursions a daily occurrence. Find out at your Buick dealer now.
Inside your free.
To help you solve your shopping problems, your Better Business Bureau knows.
Sam Spud, private investigator. Oh, Sam, I'm so glad you called.
You sound rattled, Angel.
I'm frantic, Sam. I went to buy the carpet for the office and I got so confused. There are too many kinds. I didn't know what to ask or what to buy.
I'll help you, young lady.
Mercy, who are you?
I'm the man from the Better Business Bureau. Now, when you're choosing carpet, make sure you pick a long-wearing one that'll go with your walls, draperies, and upholstery. Beware of so-called fantastic bargains. And don't buy a carpet that isn't labeled as to fiber content.
Oh, Sam, now I know what to look for and ask before I buy a carpet.
You floor me, Angel.
Just another helpful tip from your Better Business Bureau.
From the beginnings of history, it is there in some form. Possession. The incubus who ravishes maidens while asleep. The succubus who tempts man into seduction in his dreams. The dibbuk, that lost soul who dies before his time and is compelled to wander in space till he can steal a body to live out his allotted years. Fact? Superstition? Hallucination? Here is such a modern legend. You be the judge.
Okay, Doctor, an IV set up for old Wally Wino here. Glucose, and start it right away.
Yes, Dr. Daniels.
He don't look like he's long for this world.
He hasn't got a cell. He hasn't drowned in alcohol. His liver's like a washboard. But I'm not sure I concur with your diagnosis, Mrs. Gideon. Still, I don't know this time. Oh, another emergency. And this is supposed to be the quiet hour.
Do you want me to get out for a while, Doctor? I'm near finished.
No, go ahead with your cleaning. Just don't get run over by the stretcher. Put him over here, boys. Now, what have you brought me this time?
Oh, you poor old souse. Dead to the world's the word for you, all right. You got me sympathy. With my arthritis, many's the time I've been tempted to have a go at the hard stuff myself. Oh, but thanks to sweet Mary, she's held me back. A little sacramental wine to ease me bones keeps me going. I had a few tonight, I can tell you. Oh, but there's always them breath sweeteners to take it away, I hope.
Well, how's your patient, Mrs. Gideon?
Oh, Doctor, I hope he's not a Catholic. The father might never make it in time. How's yours?
Oh, mine's out of my league. What I need is a brain surgeon. Huh. Speak of the devil. Considine just walked past the door. Dr. Considine. Dr. Considine, sir, I've got an emergency here.
Mother of heaven. And me here alone with two near corpses. I didn't see it. I couldn't laugh. Oh, but I did. I seen it. Oh, the good saints preserve me.
Hey, there, Mother. Well, where am I?
In the Mercy Hospital. Huh? Oh, you shouldn't be getting up.
Oh, ma'am. You're sure a different kind of nurse.
Oh, I'm no nurse. I'm the cleaning woman.
Oh.
And you hadn't oughtn't to be sitting up? Not with that clout on the head someone's after giving you.
Hmm? What clout on the head.
Why, that great big dent as big as a soup plate they brought you in with.
What are you talking about?
I'm late for the operating room already.
Dr. Considine, he has a depressed skull fracture. I don't even know if he's still alive. Good Lord, what are you doing on your feet? Dr. Considine, will you help me get him back on the...
Hey, hold up. Wait a minute. Look, there's nothing wrong with me.
Mister, an ambulance just brought you in here with a skull fracture. You were out cold in deep shock.
But there's nothing wrong. There's nothing the matter with my head. Look.
Holy mother.
Excuse me, Mr.
Mike. Michael Damon.
Oh, well, I'm Dr. Considine, chief of neurological surgery here at the hospital. Would you mind sitting down on this chair for a second and letting me check you out?
Sure, Doc. Look, I've got to admit, I don't remember how I got here to the hospital, so maybe you ought to have a look at me.
Mrs. Gideon, what's the matter with you? You look like you just saw a ghost.
It wasn't no ghost, sir.
Dr. Daniels, get over here.
Yes, sir.
Would you mind casting your eagle eye over the back of this young man's head and show me one scintilla of evidence of skull fracture or concussion?
Doctor, all I know is Jake Bronstein brought him in on the wagon and he had a decompressed area you could have laid your hand in.
That's right, sir. I saw it myself.
Someone here has been drinking. Daniels, look. If this is your idea of a joke, I...
But I...
Never mind. We'll discuss this later. Mr. Damon?
Yes, Doctor?
For your own protection as well as the hospital's, may I suggest that we take some x-rays of your head? Oh, nurse?
Yes?
You can let Dr. Daniels take over on the IV with the old man. And wheel Mr. Damon straight to x-ray. I want a full set of head plate.
Yes, Doctor.
Now, Mr. Damon, there are a couple of questions I'd like to ask you.
Excuse me, sir. Dad?
Mike? Are you all right, son?
Oh, I feel fine, Dad, except for a headache. Dr. Considine, this is my father, Reverend Damon.
How do you do? Nurse, can we get going?
Dad, what happened? How did I get here?
Well, perhaps you can explain, Reverend, as we walk along. I want to get to x-ray.
Well, I wish someone could explain to me what happened.
I can, sir.
Let me check the IV on old PJ. Wait a minute.
What is it, Doctor?
PJ here. He's bought it this time.
Oh,
this is not my night. We might have pulled him through. Oh, there's going to be the devil to pay around here.
Oh, you can say that again. It's the God's truth, Dr. Considine. Came right out of the old man's mouth and across the room and up the young man's nose like that. With a burning, cindery smell, like the old scissor grinder's wheel used to make. A great black cloud with red eyes in the middle, and a long forked tail. Oh, I'd taken off on me mother's grave. 'Twas the devil himself.
Yes, Mrs. Gideon, I think you can leave the medical discussion to us, and I'm sure you have important work waiting.
Oh, bless us. I left me pail and mop there. Oh, I hope nobody's been after stealing that mop. It had a brand new head on it.
Well, at least I know now where the smell of alcohol came from. I can't blame you for that, Daniels.
Sure.
But I just can't accept it. In an emergency room, you concentrate on a seemingly healthy patient while you lose a really sick old man.
PJ was a repeater, Doc. He's long overdue for uremic poisoning or cardiac arrest. But this young guy, Damon...
Well, complete your sentences.
Yeah. I was just thinking... That magnificent body, physically way above par, and the injury I thought I saw, well, would have left him a vegetable for the rest of a long life if we'd pulled him through.
What injury?
That depressed fracture. Most of the brain should have been injured beyond repair.
You say what you thought you saw. Apparently you didn't see anything.
You heard Mrs. Gideon back me up, Doctor.
Come in.
Oh, it's the wet plates, Doctor, from x-ray.
Light up the viewing fields, Daniels, and let's have a good look. Yeah, satisfied?
Well, sir...
Oh, somebody gave him a knock on the head, all right. There's some exterior evidence of that, but of any fracture?
None I can see.
Well, you're the doctor of record. Shall we send him home?
I see no reason not to.
Okay. Now I'd better get up to O.R.
Coming! Coming! Trudy!
Well, don't look so disappointed, Rod.
You couldn't. Come in. Say, sweetheart, what are you doing here at this hour?
Oh, I couldn't sleep after your call, so I drove over. Is Mike back from the hospital?
No, I thought the bell was Dad and Mike. They're on the way home right now.
How come you didn't go to the hospital?
Well, we've been trying to get in touch with Anton Azarac.
Oh?
So Dad thought one of us should be here in case he called back.
Oh.
I mean, to find out what happened. Yeah. All right, Janda. Cool it.
Oh, what a name for a cat.
Why, I see nothing wrong with it. I think a martyr belongs in a minister's family.
Oh, is that my fate as your wife to be?
Of course not. We just called her that because Mike and she never seem to get along.
Well, it's hard to figure about the cat. Mike is such a kind, gentle sort of a giant. I thought all animals loved him.
Well, it depends what the word includes. Wait a minute. There's a car now. The return of the prodigal son. Now maybe we'll find out just what happened last night.
And that's honestly all I can tell any of you.
You were making a fresh fire in the fireplace at 5:30 in the morning and straightened up too fast and knocked yourself cold on the underside of the mantelpiece?
Well, what other explanation is there, Rod?
Well, it is solid oak. And that big round ornamental sphere is a menace. I've regretted it every time I've bumped my own head on it.
Yeah, but Dad, you never hit your head hard enough to knock yourself cold.
Mike, why were you making a fire at that time in the morning?
Well, I wasn't actually making one. I was replacing one. Professor Azarek was with me last night, coaching me for an exam I have coming up, and well, he got cold.
Oh, come on, it wasn't cold enough for a fire last night.
Well, maybe when you went to bed, but we were up all night. And the professor's a pretty old man.
What were you doing up at that hour in the morning, Dad?
I really don't know. Something woke me and I...
Are you all right, Reverend Jase?
Excuse me, Trudy, dear. Yes, yes, I'm fine. I'm just recalling that moment this morning. How vivid it was. I was startled out of the depths of my sleep to wide awakeness. I had a vision of Mike surrounded by flames. It was so real, I even said a little prayer. Then I hopped out of bed, went to the window. It wasn't very dark anymore. And looking across, I could see that all the studio lights were on and the front door open. Well, I thought I'd better go and have a look.
And when you got there, you found Mike on the floor, unconscious?
Yes. Lying on his face, white as a sheet, and deathly cold.
Oh.
Yeah, but what made you call the hospital? It's not like you to panic.
Well, I realize that, but the back of his head looked as though he'd been felled by some superhuman male fist. It was all bent inward.
I thought the hospital said Mike was all right.
Oh, I am, Trudy. A clean bill of health. Nothing to worry about.
My fault. Must have been an illusion, of course.
Well, I think if the Inquisition is over, I'm going to make up on some sleep. Hmm? Oh, the damn cat! I've forgotten about her. Will you keep her in there away from me?
What's the matter with you?
Been a very strange night and morning, and I have a hauntingly uneasy feeling.
You mean about Mike?
About Mike. I hope the hospital was right to give him a clean bill of health. He doesn't seem himself at all. Not at all.
Hello. Hello. Azarek? Michael. What the hell happened last night? Okay. Not on the phone. I'm going to rest now. But you be sure to be here tonight.
So far in our modern legend, we have caught up with superstition, witches, magic, both black and white, enchantment, spells, abracadabra. Well, there are two more acts to come. I'll be back very shortly with Act Two.
Give your hand. Give your heart to your love, but give your car.
or what?
That's the question when you catch the common cold. Sneezing, drips, congestion. Then take 12-hour contact. You need 6 cold tablets, 2 every 4 hours, or 3 ounces of Cold's liquid, 1 every 4 hours, or just 1 contact for up to 12 hours continuous relief of those symptoms. The tiny time pills do it. Both the others contain things for aches and fever. The liquid, something for coughs, not found in contact. Your cold, your choice.
See if you can identify these sounds. Squeaky door. Lion growling. A motor scooter. Cow mooing. Spanish dancer. If you agreed with these guesses, you've been fooled, because each sound was made by a whale. That's right, a great big blubbery old whale just buzzing and clicking and grunting away deep down in the ocean. The National Audubon Society has joined a world effort to save these amazing animals from extinction. We need your help. To find out what you can do, write National Audubon Society, 950 3rd Avenue, New York, New York, 10022.
A young man rushed to the hospital with a depressed fracture of the skull, which should have mangled his brain. A chronic drunken repeater back in emergency on the edge of fatal acute alcoholism, and an aging cleaning woman who thought she saw a malign spirit pass from the drunk to the young man. Now, apparently in full health, we'll be able to appraise just how healthy the young man who made his remarkable recovery is.
Be right there. Professor Azarick, please come in.
And must you be so formal?
After last night and today, I'm taking no chances. Maybe with your superior intelligence, you have no worries about our abortive attempt at Satanism. But I have. Look, I was the victim, and since a crack on the head denied me any knowledge of what happened, I'm only hoping you can give me the straight goods.
The straight goods. A peculiarly inept term for what we are engaged in, my brother in Satan.
Damn it, it's not a deal in semantics, Anton. Now, what happened after I summoned up the fiend? I mean, how did you escape, and how could I have been harmed? As long as I was safe in the magic triangle within the circle.
I warned you to keep your feet still. If you touch any part of the circle itself or the triangle within it, you are at the mercy of all the devils in hell.
And if I'd known what I was getting into when I picked your philosophy course, I'd have quit.
You made the mistake of not realizing how vulnerable your soul was as the son of a minister.
All right, all right. I'm not crying over what happened. I just want to know what it was. Now, where was I?
By the fireplace, lying prostrate. The way you fell after he hit you.
Who hit me?
The devil you summoned.
But where did he appear?
Outside the circle here.
The inner or the outer?
Beyond the outer, of course. There was water scattered between the circles, and wolfsbane scattered through it. And within the circle, you had the brazier burning.
Everything as you ordered it and arranged it.
Yes, but...
But what went wrong?
Your ego.
My ego? What does that mean?
You lost your head. Or at least almost did. This was a simple experiment by someone who seemed a true psychic to raise a minor antichrist. The motive was strong enough to create belief. Or at least the hope of belief. You wanted a familiar to procure your brother's woman for you. Beshal, you were to call forth. Why did you call on Ashtaroth
A giantess beyond your control.
I don't know. Look, do I have to explain?
No, no. Ever since you became my disciple, you told me that you have lusted after the woman your brother brought home as his bride.
The only thing I've never been able to take from Rod whenever I wanted.
When you finished the incantation and summoned Ashtaroth, I thought the house would come down about our ears. The earth rocked like the San Francisco quake. And suddenly she stood without the circle, a huge figure in chainmail and medieval armor. Meddler and slave, she said, how dare you summon me for your petty desires? Learn this lesson once, if not for all. Turn your face from me in shame. And as you turned, she reached out with her mailed glove and struck you on the top and back of your head. You dropped like a stone.
Across the magic circles?
They weren't designed for major devils.
You swore no presence could cross them.
Nothing but her arm and her fist.
But it's 5 feet from that outer circle to the center of the triangle where I was standing.
I told you the circle was for lesser demons.
What happened after she struck me?
The spirit disappeared. The room was clogged with smoke. I opened the door to let it out and came back to you. You had fallen almost into the fireplace. I pulled the rug back, arranged the furniture as best I could, and fled. I thought you were dead.
Oh, I'm alive.
Yes, yes, but it's not possible. When I left you just before sunrise, you were dead.
What witchcraft can do, it can undo. Whoever and whatever I am, I'm alive. Make no mistake about that. Goodbye, Anton. I don't need you anymore.
Oh, hi, Trudy. I thought you'd gone with Rod and Dad.
Hello, Mike. I thought you were over in the studio.
We ran out of beer.
Ah, you're out of luck. Rod's bringing some home.
Well, I found something more refreshing.
What?
You.
Oh, if you'd waited just a little longer, you'd have found me anyway. I was going to wander over to the studio and visit you.
Oh, so that's why you stayed home.
Oh, don't be silly. Someone had to wash the dishes. As long as I'm house guest, I thought I ought to do something for my keep.
Well, you're staying here tonight?
1 whole week. Mom went up with Pops to his 35th class reunion. And they figured that with one full-fledged minister and a recent hospital dropout, I was suitably chaperoned.
Safe as a church, huh? Rod and Dad say when they'd be back?
Not till pretty late, I guess.
Mm.
Pretty rough section of town. That's why Rod insisted on going along.
Mm, what's the occasion?
That's one of your father's oldest parishioners. I guess the old lady is dying. She asked for the minister.
Well, her loss, my gain.
What?
Oh, nothing. It's just a stupid joke. You said you wanted to see the studio?
Oh, yes. Would you mind?
Mind? Look, I'm out of beer, but I've got some champagne that's begging to be what it is.
What is it?
A split. Just right for sharing. Shall we go? Well, won't you walk into my parlor, said Beelzebub to the flies.
Oh, no, what's that supposed to mean?
That is the advantage of a classical education.
Uh-huh.
Beelzebub, god of the Philistine city of Ekron. You know, he was known as the Lord of the Flies.
Why?
Well, now there you've got me.
Uh-oh, he sounds horrid.
Well, he wasn't very popular with Christians. In fact, they called him the Prince of Devils.
Lord of the Flies.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, it gives me the creeps.
Here's something to chase your creeps away.
Oh, I don't want that, Mike. It goes right to my head.
Oh, just a sip, hmm? A good luck toast to sister and brother-in-law-hood. Our getting to know you party.
Well, far be it from me to be a party pooper. There's nothing more cozy and reassuring than a room full of books. What's this section here?
Oh, that? It's the main reason I needed Dad's particular library since my exam was in metaphysics.
The black arts, the world of witches, essentials of demonology, A satanic mass? Oh, it's a strange collection for a minister.
And it's always good to know your enemy. Now, Dad's quite an authority on the devil and his works.
And you? Are you thinking of becoming a minister, Mike?
Me? No. Perish the thought. No, my philosophy is too easy for that. I long ago decided that if you can't fight him, join him. Can't you see how evil I am? Tempting you with spirituous beverages, coaxing you here to my lair, and now, having anesthetized my prey, making ready to spring.
I don't think you're being very funny, Mike. Oh, is this where you hit your head?
Oh, yes, so they say. No, I wasn't being altogether funny.
What do you mean?
Trudy, have you any idea how jealous I am of my older brother?
Of Rod? Why?
A month ago, or whenever it was, that he turned up with you, my first thought was, why couldn't I find something like that?
That's very flattering, Mike. But you're a little young for the big step.
Not so young as you think. Perhaps. I don't care what you and Rod have been to each other. It was me you wanted. Still want. Only you're afraid of breaking your word.
This is a joke.
It's no joke.
Mike, let go of me.
You wanted me from the moment you laid eyes on me, just as I have you.
Oh, you've been reading too many naughty books.
Don't laugh. There's nothing funny about this.
No, not really. Offensive.
You're afraid of me.
Don't be silly.
Afraid of yourself.
Now that really is the last straw.
Test it. Test it. Fasten your mouth to mine. Wind yourself about me. Try forbidden love, and it will never let you go.
No, Mike, let me go. You're hurting me. Oh, that's Rod home with your father. If you won't let me go, I'll scream.
What are you going to tell them?
Nothing. Nothing. I wouldn't want them to know what a pig you are. I think that blow on the head must have done more damage than you think. Mike, you better see a psychiatrist. Hi, Rod. Dad. Well, we didn't expect you.
Astaroth. By Lucifer. I'll have you yet. Cowering at my feet like a slave. To use you once and destroy you. As I shall use your surrogate tonight. Whoever she may be.
Oh, dear. How bestial.
What, Reverend Damon?
Just something that happened to a girl on the other side of town.
Let me see. Rape? Awful.
Well, now you got me going.
No.
You too, Jean? Well, since you can't read, I'll read it to you. The body of Elizabeth Migler, 21, was discovered in Marsden Park today by a passerby. Although it was later determined the girl had been raped, the strange features of the case are that she was not robbed, and as though by some ferocious animal, tooth marks showed that her throat had been literally ripped to pieces. Good Lord.
Where is Marsden Park?
Clear over the other side of town.
When did it happen?
Night before last. Morning, all. I hope breakfast is all ready. I'm famished. What's wrong with that cat? Oh, it's beginning to bug me.
A lot of things are beginning to bug me.
What'd you say, honey?
Nothing, Rod. I don't think I'll have any breakfast this morning. I don't feel like eating. No, Rod, please, don't come with me. I'd rather be alone.
Lover's quarrel?
Look, will you just fake out, brother mine? It's none of your business.
For Trudy's sake, for everyone's sake, would that it were. But, unfortunately, we know better. Or do we? The crime happened miles away. And the devil that may possess Mike is there only on the evidence of a tipsy charwoman. Who summons the devil never calls for him in vain. And once met, few are lucky to get rid of him again. I'll return shortly with Act 3.
Never heard of beer on the rocks? No? Swell. The people who brew Budweiser never have thought,
ice in your beer was such a cool idea anyway? If you only knew how ice cuts down the head and waters the taste. Oh, a chilling thought. A downright tragedy with Budweiser especially. Budweiser is the king of beers. The only beer in America that's beechwood aged. Naturally carbonated. Which means Bud brews its own bubbles. Tiny ones over a dense lattice of beechwood strips. The beer ages the best way. The right way. Naturally. But add an ice cube and bloop, there goes all that extra effort. So if you forget to cool enough Bud, skip the cubes and put your Budweiser on ice for a while on the coldest shelf in your refrigerator. Even if the wait does frost you a little, it'll be worth it. Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis.
The Marine Corps Reserves are looking for a few good men to help keep the peace. Looking for men who understand that nobody likes to fight, but somebody has to know how. We want men who want to see their children grow up in an age of peace. Men who will do more than wish for it. Men who will work for it. Men who don't need the draft to know there's a job to be done. Men who ask themselves what they can do for their country and do it. We're looking for a few good men to stand with the Marine Corps Reserve. No shortcuts, no compromises, no promises except one. You'll be a Marine, and you'll be ready. That's the job of a peacekeeper.
In the kitchen of the Damon house, Rod glares angrily at his brother, who shrugs it off and goes to the refrigerator for orange juice. A troubled Reverend Damon eyes both his sons as he closes and folds the tabloid in his hands as if it were just as unclean as it is. Rod, unchallenged by Mike, breaks the silence first.
I better go on upstairs and check on Trudy.
Well, she said she wanted to be alone.
Look, will you stay out of this?
Well, I'm not even in it. Just an objective comment.
So keep it to yourself.
Now, come on, Rod. I didn't mean to butt in. Catch me up. What's all the hostility about?
No hostility. Just a reaction to a peculiarly unpleasant crime. I think I'll go up and apologize to Trudy for spoiling everyone's breakfast.
That's a good idea, Dad.
If I can leave you two alone.
Well, I have no quarrel with anyone.
Now, forget it, Dad. I just got upset over Trudy. I shouldn't have jumped on Mike.
Well, then, let me see if I can make our future in-law a little happier in our house.
What happened, Rod? Oh, it all started over this tabloid story about some poor kid who got raped and mangled in Marsden Park.
Oh?
Here, read all about it.
Kind of gruesome, all right. But there's one of these every day.
Yeah, but not in such gory detail. It really got to Trudy. Now, I've never seen her upset like that. I mean, so subjectively involved.
Oh? What do you suppose triggered that?
Oh, I don't know. I just sure wish I did.
Maybe it's better to let sleeping dogs lie.
Who is it?
Your future father-in-law. May I come in for a minute?
Just a sec. The door's locked.
Come on in, Reverend Damon.
Feeling any better?
Oh... not really.
Oh, I should be ashamed of myself reading that yellow sheet. I like to think it helps keep my sense of balance, but maybe I'm just a seeker of vicarious excitement.
Like that rather complete collection on Satanism and the occult that you have in your studio?
Ah, you noticed that, did you?
Night before last, when I was over there with Mike while you and Rod had gone to see your old parishioner who was dying. Did she?
As a matter of fact, no. She made a remarkable recovery.
Oh, really? Well, You look so sort of worried when you came home. I thought you...
I was worried about you, Trudy. And Mike.
Why?
You, because I knew you were upset about something. You can't be a minister for over 40 years without learning to read something about people.
And Mike?
Mike is an enigma to me since I brought him back from the hospital. A rather terrifying thought to realize I've lost contact with my own son. I'd like to ask your help, Trudy, and I'll lay it right on the line. Why were you at the studio with him? And what happened there?
You won't tell Rod?
Not if you don't want me to.
Then what I'd like more than anything is to tell someone, most of all you, for Mike's sake. Because I think he needs help. And you're the only one who could bring it to him or make him go find it.
Reverend Damon, this is a pleasure. I'm on my way to a class. Can we talk as we cross campus?
Yes. Just, what is the name of your course that Mike is taking?
Philosophy. Perhaps more specifically, metaphysics. Rather freewheeling. I mean, it's advanced and we spend more time on the perimeters than we do on the core subjects.
Just what were you and Mike up to that long night before his injury?
I was coaching him for an examination.
An examination in what? On what subject?
Why, the class I teach, general philosophy.
And you left before Michael was hurt?
Oh, good Lord, yes. Would I have left the boy if he were injured?
Would you have fled the scene unless you were up to something dark and vile enough to stain your reputation?
I am sorry your boy was hurt. I had no part in it. And I resent your holier-than-thou accusations. If you'll excuse me, I have a class waiting for me.
And now for the rug. There. Does it? Oh, my dear Lord. Just what I was afraid of.
What are you afraid of, Dad?
You, Mike. That you'd turned away from God to seek the devil.
Why, Mike? Why?
Who knows? Now, what shall I tell you? That life's a drag. It has no purpose, no goals, no triumphs that aren't tarnished. That there's no good in man. Nothing but pettiness and meanness and me first and the devil take the hindmost.
That's not what I brought you up to believe.
No one blames you, Dad. That Trudy was the last straw. That Rod could find the woman he wanted and she could turn out to be the one that I need. So I chose his worship. And here we built my altar.
Don't desecrate that name. The altar belongs to God.
This altar belongs to Satan. See the circle traced in vermilion paint? Exactly 9 feet wide, an 8-foot charcoal one within? Light the votive candles, burn the incense, let the mass begin.
Mike, what are you doing? I won't tolerate this sacrilege.
You can no more move than the woman I desire can resist my power. I am the way. I am the darkness. I am the truth. Lord of the universe whom the winds fear. I am he whose mouth ever flameth. You answer me. The I in whom, the bornless one that did create the darkness and the light. Thee I command to serve me and send me the woman I desire.
Come in here.
But the rain.
What's going on here?
Rod, it's your brother. He's gone mad. Spawn of the outer world. Stay back. Stay back. Or I will smite thee dead where thou standest. Leave or leave except the woman who is mine.
Dad, what's going on?
Look out. He's going for Trudy.
Now look, Nick.
Oh, he has a knife.
Would you murder your own brother?
Okay, that's enough fooling around.
Do you know I could always take you?
Oh, Rod, I hope you haven't hurt him too much.
Oh, don't worry, baby. He always had a glass jaw.
He had something more perishable than that. Call the hospital. And better tell them to bring a straitjacket.
The top of the night to you, Mrs. Gideon. And what's that wee bottle in the paper bag? A little potine?
Nothing of the sort, Dr. Smartaddick. It's a noggin of holy water blessed by me own Monsignor, which I carry with me when I come near this place ever since 3 days ago. What happened to old P.J.? Did anyone ever turn up to claim him?
Nope. Oh, by the way, while we're on the gossip column, guess who's back in the hospital?
Oh, not the other one.
Mm-hmm, the same. Lying in the emergency room under a deep sedation in a straitjacket.
Oh, what did they bring him back here for?
That's what Dr. Considine and his father, the Reverend Damon, are discussing now in the prep room. Well, if you're going to swab out the emergency, you'd better get at it fast.
Well, I'll tell you something, Doctor. Mm-hmm. If I'm to be there and alone with that devil, you'll never see emergency this clean again. For I imagine the Monsignor's holy water to me pale right now, just in case.
Of course, we'll run every neurological test in the book on him under the circumstances, Reverend Damon.
I'm not sure it will do any good. I'm afraid the trouble is psychiatric.
Well, it has to be one or the other unless we're to accept Mrs. Gideon's diagnosis of possession.
Mrs. Gideon? Oh, I remember now. She was one of the people, like the intern, who remembered that they thought they saw a considerable skull compression.
Which never existed, believe me. Just an illusion like Mrs. Gideon's.
What was Mrs. Gideon's illusion?
Well, I'm afraid she'd had a drink or two, and she had some wild story about a black devil streaming out of an old dipsomaniac who was also in the emergency room and being sucked up through your son's nostrils. I'm really even embarrassed to mention such nonsense. Come in.
Excuse me, Dr. Considine, but the patient is coming too.
Mr. Damon?
Yes, sir. He's still in the straitjacket.
I think, Reverend, if you don't mind until we see what state he's in.
I don't mind. You might as well both know that the police are by now well aware that my son was responsible for the violent death of a young woman the night before last while under the possession of whatever devils or devil owns him. Shall we go?
By Nurgle and Tammuz and Beltogor, no one can hem me in. I am Belial, Lord of the Flies, and your bonds cannot hold me!
Good Lord, he's out of the straitjacket. I'll get help.
What's going on here, Mrs. Gideon?
Oh, the Lord preserve us. It's the devil incarnate. Oh, stay away from him, Doctor. He'll burn you to a crisp with his fiery breath.
All of you, stay away from him. Leave him to me. Michael, my son.
Call me not by that filthy angel's name. Stay away, old man, for I carry death in my hand as a sword.
Michael!
I warned you.
Oh, you administer man of the cloth. Get back! Get back!
What happened?
Oh, sure, it was the Monsignor's holy water. It's as strong as life.
Michael, no.
All right, boys.
All right, Daniels, you're too late.
What?
Excuse me, Reverend. Let me see. Daniels, come here.
Hey, yes, sir.
Was that the depression you were talking about when this man was first brought in?
Yes, sir. That's what I thought I saw.
Well, at least it's what we all see now.
But how?
I haven't any answers. I only know... I'm sorry, Reverend Damon, but your son is dead.
He hasn't been my son since his first visit here. The mercy of God is that whatever possessed him died with him, thanks to this lady here.
Oh, if I hadn't had the holy water, The Lord does move in mysterious ways, don't he, Reverend Sir?
In mysterious ways and kind ones. What a field day the Reverend Damon's tabloids might have had if Michael had ever come to trial for the death of that poor innocent girl. Innocent. Perhaps that's the theme of this dark history. If Michael had been less innocent, and had had the guts to be less self-interested and bored, how different his world might have been. But that's the answer, isn't it? We all make our own world. We can't rely on anyone else to make it for us. I'll be back shortly.
Hold it, kid.
Huh?
This is a stick-up.
Oh, please. I don't have any money.
Don't hand me that. This is payday for all you college kids awake at Hinkelmeyer's. I seen you there.
Oh, but all I have is my paycheck.
That's okay. Hand it over.
Here.
You can keep the stub. Hey, wait a minute. How come they held out federal income tax?
Well, everyone has to pay income tax.
What's the matter with you, kid? Don't you know nothing? You do not have to pay no federal income tax unless you earn more than $2,050.
Oh, but they still have to withhold tax from my pay.
Look, kid, all you have to do is give your boss an IRS form, W-4E, instead of the usual W-4. And he is then not required to withhold any federal income tax from your pay. And you will not have to file no tax return to get it back.
Really? Hey, I didn't know that. Thanks.
Ah, that's okay. I figure you could use the money.
This message presented on behalf of the Internal Revenue Service.
I suppose I should resist the impulse, but I have to admit I can't. It's one of the rewards for being host, particularly with guests who can't answer back, at least directly. So just for once, a homily. Reach out and find life. Take it and make the most of it. For if nothing else, our story proves to the hilt the oldest of adages. If you don't, the devil finds work for idle hands to do. Our cast included Donald Bucher, Joan Shea, Ian Martin, Guy Sorrell, and Leon Janney. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. And now, a preview of our next tale.
No trouble, though. He went numb pretty fast.
I thought he would.
He wanted me to give you a message, but then he couldn't remember what it was. And he thinks you're some kind of a warden.
Poor man.
You know, Mr. Z, I didn't much like it inside that room.
You knew you were coming out.
Who ever dreamed up the black room anyway?
I've no idea. There's always been a black room, far as I know.
Hell of a place.
Yes.
How long will he last, do you think?
Matter of days. Weeks, possibly.
Then what?
He'll go mad. Or die.
Wonder what he's doing now.
Oh, counting by twos, then by threes, then by fours. Anything to keep from thinking. That's what they all do.
Radio Mystery Theater was sponsored in part by Buick Motor Division. This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
Listen to Mystery Theater again tomorrow night, same time, same station. Now stay tuned for the news next.
beautiful music. This is KIXI, AM and FM, Seattle.
Pacific Standard Time, 11 o'clock.
CBS News, the 93rd Congress's history, the lawmakers have adjourned. This is Doug Poling reporting on the CBS Radio Network. Before wrapping up its work, Congress gave final approval to that trade reform bill, including a deal with the communist countries for most favored nation trading status. Details on the adjournment reported by Hal Walker.
Before the senators could go home, there was the annual ceremony performed by the Republican and Democratic leadership. Robert Byrd, acting majority leader, and Hugh Scott, minority leader, called the White House. First, Byrd.
The Senate has concluded its business and is ready to adjourn if you have no further communications.
We are waiting your pleasure, Mr. President.
President Ford expressed some disappointment in the legislative accomplishments of the 93rd Congress, but thanked the lawmakers generally for their cooperation. Senator Byrd gave himself and his colleagues higher marks.
I think this has been an historic Congress. From the legislative standpoint, it has passed very important measures, among them campaign reform, election reform, pension reform, minimum wage, social security increases, trade legislation, and on and on. And it has also carried out its oversight function under the Constitution in a remarkable way. And so I would say that it's been an outstanding Congress, a progressive Congress.
In any event, as far as the Senate was concerned, the 93rd Congress was history. Hal Walker, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
More news in a moment.
Are you an unpublished author? Do you have a book-length manuscript ready or almost ready for publication? Or do you know of anyone else who is an unpublished author? If so, Vantage Press invites you to write to a leading New York publisher for a free illustrated brochure titled To the Author in Search of a Publisher. It explains how you may have your manuscript printed and published in a matter of months. Just write to GPO, Box 1414, New York, New York. Whether your subject is fiction, nonfiction, poetry, or even scientific, specialized, or controversial, this 52-page brochure shows you how to arrange for prompt publication. To get your copy, write to GPO, Box 1414, New York, New York. That's GPO, Box 1414, New York, New York. If this is your first book, you'll find this free brochure especially valuable and informative. Write to GPO, Box 1414, New York, New York. GPO, Box 1414, New York, New York.
Final arguments continued Friday in the Watergate cover-up trial in Washington. Prosecutor James Neal talked for almost 4 hours, saying the taped Watergate conversations in President Nixon's office desecrated the White House. But one defense lawyer, John Wilson, backed the former president as well as the defendants, saying the conversations amounted to merely family discussions. President Ford has made a decision, but controversy continues over ownership of tapes and papers from the Nixon White House. Jed Duval reports from Washington.
Judge Charles Ritchie indicated that he was about to decide the question of ownership of Nixon tapes and papers when President Ford signed into law the bill giving custody to the government. The hint came as Nixon lawyer Herbert Miller appeared in Ritchie's court to protest the new law and ask for a temporary injunction against it. Instead, the judge congratulated the Congress for enacting it, said it solves a problem that should have been faced long ago. Beyond custody, there is still the question of ownership, the judge said, which the Congress did not decide in the new law, a question which still rests with the court. The judge scheduled another hearing for Monday and assured Miller that nothing would happen to the tapes and documents over the weekend. The status quo will be maintained, he said. Jed Duval, CBS News at Federal Court in Washington.
One person is known dead. About 50 others were hurt when a Canadian National passenger train collided head-on Friday night with a freight train near Kingston, Ontario. The accident occurred on the main rail line between Montreal and Toronto. The White House says the new figures released Friday by the Bureau of Labor Statistics show inflation has not let up. The figures show during November prices rose 0.9%. The rate of inflation for the 12 months ending at the end of November was 12.1%. More news after this word.
If you happen to live in one of the towns or areas which don't enjoy the brand name selection and economy of having a True Value hardware store nearby, you probably get awfully tired of hearing me say, "Hi, Pat Summerall here with another great value from True Value hardware stores." And that's understandable. Because all the great values in the world won't do any good if you can't get to them. We'll do something about it. Next time you visit the local hardware, home center, or home and auto supply dealer, ask if he's ever considered joining the True Value Group. Tell him to drop me a note. Pat Summerall, CBS Radio, P.O. Box 50. That's CBS Radio, P.O. Box 50, Radio City Station, New York, for details. If your local dealer qualifies, he'll be able to start offering the kind of savings on brand name products which only a member of the nation's largest and fastest growing hardware chain can offer. Get the point? If a True Value hardware sign goes up in your town, you'll both be glad you had the idea.
In Sacramento, California, a businessman is offering a free Christmas present, but it's doubtful the gesture will send people rushing gleefully into his establishment. Foy Bryant, a mortician, says he'll give free funerals to Sacramento area residents who die between now and midnight December 31st. Bryant says he's dead serious about the offer. He put an ad in the paper saying, "This is our way to thank Sacramento." This is Doug Poling, CBS News.
CBS for the Great Northwest, KIXI, AM and FM, Seattle. Weather outlook for Seattle, Tacoma, Aberdeen vicinity. Windy tonight, southerly wind 25 to 40 miles per hour, and gusty, diminishing to southwest 20 to 30 tomorrow afternoon. Periods of rain through tomorrow, decreasing Sunday. Lows in the lower 40s tonight and the upper 30s tomorrow night, highs in the mid and upper 40s. Presently 52 degrees at both SeaTac and downtown Seattle.